Good morning. You guys are getting so much better at that, so much better. If you will, bust open your bulletins there. We got some things that I want to make sure that everyone's aware of, and also got some additional things to add on to a couple of those. The first one, take a look at there, is on June 5th at 6 p.m., we'll be honoring our graduates. These are the two that we're aware of right now, Alexandria Perry and Hagen New. And so I want to make something as clear as I can possibly make it, because I have served on this committee and I have seen this become an issue. If there is someone else who is graduating from high school, college, whatever they're graduating from, if you would like them to be honored, let us know. But when we have this event and you're there, we're like, well, my fifth cousin's nephew is not up here. You didn't tell us. We didn't know. So we will do it, but you have to let us know you want this person recognized. All right? Read that very clear. We want to recognize them, but you have to let us know. These are the two that we are aware of in our church body. If there are more, please let us know. All right. Mark your calendars. Get your stomachs ready. May 8th. 9 a.m., the deacons will be preparing a pancake breakfast for you. I heard some, I like that. I got even a better one for you. There's going to be bacon also. So, there you go, Brad. That's what I'm talking about. So, there will be a pancakes and bacon breakfast. May 8th. Be here for that. Also, this is super exciting. It's all been exciting so far, but I find this super exciting. Is May 22nd. At 6 p.m., we will be resuming our Sunday evening services. Now, that's to include all of the other things that we're doing, right? So that's why out there in the Hallelujah Hallway, there is a sign-up sheet for us to do certain things, to have certain activities for kids. We have to have workers serving in those roles, right? So we need you to sign up out there, and Simon grabbed me this morning. Also, if you want to serve as a van driver, right, we need to know a week before this date so Simon can get the rotation going. And so we know who's going to be driving the bus to pick up kids, right? Take a look at that sheet, pray about it, see what God wants you to do, how he wants you to serve. But I'm very excited that I will be seeing you twice on Sunday, not just once. I'm very excited about that. Also, you'll see there, GA Day Camp. That's coming up 14th through 16th. RA Overnight Camp, 17th through 18th. Talk to Mandy Young if you want more information about that. I did get an email about that, and it would be really good if we had a chaperone from our church that did that. You can't just take your kids and drop them off in Glencoe and say, we'll be back later to get them. Someone has to be there with them during that time. And if we could have a single chaperone from our church who could serve in that, would be really good. You can also hear some messages from me because I will be preaching at the GA Day Camp. That should not dissuade any of you from being chaperones, okay? See Mandy Young if you want more information about that. Also, you know the Owen County Christmas Project, we've discussed that, how that's being done different. You see the information there. And then we also have one, Cindy wanted to thank all of the ladies who helped with the Women of Spirit events on Friday, and also those who attended. And to let you know, the next event is being planned, right? And so that information will be disseminated soon. And then last but not least, I did not put this in there. This is something for me, is I just wanted to share with the church how blessed and proud I am of the way that you handled yesterday and the meal at our building in honor of Doug Ball. I know this is being recorded. If someone from M28 Church listens to this, I do mean this, but don't take it the wrong way. But Matt came up to me afterwards and says, man, can you all come and disciple M28 on how to do a potluck, right? Because there was just food everywhere. People were eating. We had amazing people working in the kitchen, sweating their guts out. It was just a good example of what a church body comes together to do to serve another family. And so I'm very proud and blessed to be part of that. And I'm thankful for you, right? So thank you all for doing that. All that being said, we're going to pray. And after I pray, our musicians are going to come and begin preparing our hearts to hear God's word. So let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for the truths that we discussed in our small group studies this morning. If I had I'm very confident there were some very interesting conversations that came out of that Sunday school time this morning. And what I would encourage everyone in that is to focus on the main point of that we are called to be prepared, we are called to be courageous, and we are called to stand firm in the midst of these trials and of these end times. Lord, we thank you for this time that we have here right now to come set aside the distractions of the day, to focus upon you. And Lord, we pray that we are producers of worship. Thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let us stand this morning as we worship together, and let us praise our God for the wonderful God that he is. Amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. I worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, I'll worship his holy name. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still I so will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship in holy name. Sing like never before. I'll worship your holy name. Oh, I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name.
Amen. One of the reasons why we worship his holy name is for that deep love that he had for us, that he sent his son to die for us on the cross. So let us sing that this morning. I invite you to meditate on the words and how deep the Father's love had to be to send his only begotten Son to die for a bunch of sinners like you and me. Let us sing about that great love. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sins upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Amen. Psalms 103, 6 through 7. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his way to Moses, his acts of the people of Israel, to the people of Israel. Amen. Let us continue singing, and that wonderful act is what gives us the living hope to live for tomorrow. So let us sing about that this morning, and let us praise our Lord for being our living hope.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are.
Amen. I think we all like that song, don't we? Amen. It's that living hope that we can say, in Christ alone do we have salvation. And it's in Christ alone do we have that living hope. So let us continue to praise our wonderful Lord Jesus this morning.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease, my my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, for I am his and he is mine, bought through the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Amen. You may be seated.
Psalms 103.8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord. We're thankful for this time that we can come together and give you the worship that you deserve, Lord. The worship just sounded so good this morning, Lord. And I just pray that the rest of our worship throughout this day will be just as good and pleasing to you, Lord. I pray for the offering that we're about to receive, Lord. I pray that we use it to the ongoing work of your kingdom. Be with Michael as he brings today's message, and I pray that we apply this message to our daily lives. Your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Children will head off to children's church, where I'm sure they'll be blessed. I always, you know, when it's time to try to describe something to someone, if you don't have a general working knowledge of something, sometimes it's difficult to appreciate how good and how blessed someone is at something. So just in case you've never tried to play the piano, right? What happens there is amazing, right? I was forced one time to try to learn, and I was like, it's a train wreck, right? It's a train wreck. But that is amazing. Crystal is blessed with that, and we are very blessed to have her. Yes, absolutely. Raphael, you do an okay job on the guitar, too, okay? Not bad. Much better than me. I've tried to play the guitar as well. He's much better than I am, yes. So I'm thankful for that as well. We come here today. We continue making our way through 1 Peter. We've made it to verses 6 through 9 today. And I want to share this. And I've had this conversation with my wife. And of those of you who attend a small group study, a.k.a. Sunday school class, you've experienced this as well. You're maybe thinking, like, how many lessons are we going to have on suffering, right? We had one about, Margie's like, yeah, I know, yeah. We had one about 5 weeks ago, and you had another one about 3 weeks ago, and today we're going to be talking about it again. And you're like, man, we are like tripling down on this. And I speak for no one but for me when I say this. Last Saturday night, I figured out why God was preparing me for trials. When I got the phone call from Matthew at 11 in the morning, or 11 at night, and you know when you get a phone call from someone at 11 at night, something's up. And so I figured someone in our extended family in Georgia had passed away, because my aunts and uncles are getting to that point to where that happens. And it was Doug Ball. And I think I can speak for a lot of us when I share is that it's a difficult trial. It's a difficult trial. And so I'm thankful for God's providence and his sovereignty to not only prepare myself, but to prepare you all to give you a better biblical understanding of what trials are and what they're the purpose of trials, right? And so that's what Peter was writing as he's writing to this dispersion of these churches that have been dispersed to modern-day Turkey as they're there, and he's writing to them, and he's trying to encourage them. And, you know, it's important, and I'll emphasize this again later in my notes, it's important to understand when you read 1 Peter, it is amazingly encouraging. It's just a very positive epistle. But understand, he's writing it to a group of people who have no earthly reason to be positive. However, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's pointing out to them why they should be positive. Right? That's what makes this book very relevant to you and I today. You do not need much talk from me to tell you you are living in tough times. That you are living in times that are ripe with trials. That you're living in times that are ripe with temptations. You don't need me to remind you of that. But what I'm thankful of is God's word helps us understand and to deal with those trials and temptations. Let me read something for you. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for the truth. We're thankful for the fact that it washes over us, that it conforms us, it transforms us more into the image of your Son. Lord, as difficult as it may be at times, we are thankful for our trials, or we are thankful for what it produces, as we will discuss today, what your word tells us about that. And Lord, we just pray that we are always not drawing upon our own strength and our own abilities to handle these trials, but we're calling upon the strength of the Holy Spirit that resides within us. Lord, we thank you for that, and Lord, we thank you for these truths. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so to completely unpack this set of verses here, we have to first look at something. And this is important for you to understand, and I'm sure I'm just repeating myself when I share this with you all as the church, is that all Scripture is connected, right? Whether you're reading Revelations or whether you're reading Genesis, it's all connected in some form or fashion. The purpose of it is to point you to Jesus Christ, but there is a consistent thread that weaves itself throughout Scripture. But it's also important when we come to this here today and we're looking at verse 6, and it says, "In this you rejoice." And it's like, what's the this? The this references back to verses 3 and 5. Which I am very confident you guys are experts in, because you got two doses of verses 3 through 5, right? We talked about the regeneration of the Spirit, and we talked about what God has done for us, right? I'm going to read it for us again just to get it fresh in your brains again. This is verses 3 and 5. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Right? And so what Peter is saying is that in this you rejoice. So we rejoice in what I just read for you, verses 3 through 5. And we've discussed this. Some of you are like, man, we've discussed it a lot. And that's right, because regeneration is a very important topic. You need to be well-versed in that, and we need to understand that. And so that's what he's telling them to rejoice in, right? But then he shifts gears hard. Like, this is a hard right turn by Peter here. He says, "However, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." And so we could spend the rest of the morning, don't worry, we're not going to, but we could spend the rest of the morning me giving you examples of trials in your life, right? You don't need that, because you know when you're experiencing a trial, you feel it, right? Just some real quick ones that I wrote down just to kind of, is death, disease, sickness, suffering, disappointment, loneliness, all of these trials. You may have heard different messages from different people or different Sunday school material that sometimes calls those valleys. I call those valleys sometimes to kind of get the point across. But these are things you're experiencing in your life that are hard and difficult for you. And now, and one of the things we have to be careful of as brothers and sisters in Christ who love one another is that we don't look at someone's trial. Right, Jamie, you made eye contact. I'm going to use your name. That I look at maybe a trial of Jamie's and be like, that's not a real trial. I could handle that. If it's real to Jamie, it should be real to me. Why? Because I'm her brother in Christ. And when she's experiencing a trial, guess what? I'm experiencing a trial. And so we need to be very careful. I see that. I see that all the time. We see something, you're like, that ain't a big deal. You know, if you've ever led a children's Sunday school class or a Bible study, it's amazing in a lot of ways, but it's amazing how much they understand that everything deserves prayer. I can remember one time spending 30 minutes praying for a goldfish. I mean, it was legit. It went around the room. Everybody got in on this goldfish. Everybody wanted to pray for this goldfish. And I can remember a time thinking, I'm like, are we gonna, because I was prepared, right? I was ready to do this, right? We were gonna talk about some serious theology. Was it too much? Absolutely. That's just my MO in life, right? But I was ready to lay some theology on these kids. But we spent the majority of time praying for a goldfish. And after that, I realized the truth in that is that that mattered to that young person, and it should have mattered to me, right? And so that's what we need to be careful of when we're talking about trials for us as a church practically, is don't just disregard someone else's trial. It's important to them. It should be important to us. We come alongside of one another, right? And not just in trials. One of the things that's important for us to talk about here is not just trials, but also temptations, Right? Temptation's a kind of a trial, right? And one of the things that we have to be aware of is that we are constantly dealing with temptations as well. I wrote a couple of those down as well. Greed, selfishness, anger, jealousy, indulgences, right? We have these situations in life that we're struggling with. And what all of this points to is that the world itself stands in opposition to God. And we had to be careful when we say that, because when we say that, which I believe is true and biblical, it almost kind of gives us a little out, be like, the world is crazy. Also insert you into this as well. Your sinful nature also stands in opposition to God. I don't want any hands to go up unless the Lord moves you to raise your hand. You can do that. But here's the deal. Anybody in here ever done something they knew was wrong, but knew they shouldn't do it, but did it anyway? Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We'll be honest with one another. It's all of us, right? And so sometimes we give in to those temptations, right? And when we get, and this is just, I want to spend just a brief minute speaking on this, because I see this written wrong a lot of places, and I've heard people teach this wrong. A temptation is not sin. When you give into the temptation is when you cross that threshold and it becomes sin. And this is really easy to parse out for people, right? Christ was tempted. But we also know Christ was sinless, right? Because if he wasn't sinless, when we get to the third point would make no sense to us if Christ was not sinless when he went to the cross as the perfect atonement for our sins. And so even though Christ was sin, what Christ did perfectly is he never gave into those sins. Now, what I can say for myself, and I can also say for you, is that is not you. You have given into those temptations, right? In the midst of a trial, you have given into that, and you have crossed over into sin, right? And so you guys are thinking, you're like, man, I'm glad I came to church today. This is such a positive lesson, right? I'm so excited to hear about this. Here's the reality, church. And it's hard for me at times, and I'm sure it's hard for you at times who has to sit through this. But man, we need to understand our helpless condition. If you do not understand how lost you are, just in the darkness and the depravity of your life, if you don't have an understanding of that, you'll never understand and appreciate what Christ accomplished for you. And so we got to look in that mirror sometimes. And I don't know about for you all, but when I look in the mirror, I don't like what looks back at me for a lot of reasons, right? As Matt Dye, who borrowed the microphone yesterday, says, Michael, you got a huge head. I'm like, this is not new, Matt. When he put the microphone on, he goes, how big is this? I was like, big enough to fit me. That's how big it is, right? So I don't like what looks back at me a lot of times either. But one of the things that I'm charged to do as your pastor and as your shepherd is to walk with you through this and to help you see these things about yourselves, right? And so this paints a really dark picture of the world. Right? Because we're full of trials and temptations. One of the things that is super important for us to understand is this well, is that this isn't just you, and it's not just the world, but nature itself is paying for the consequences of sin, right? Insert hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, all of these things. The earth itself is paying for those consequences of sin, just like you and I are. Right? And the other thing here, and this is something that, and I've never read this in any book, and so I will say this, is that this is something that is completely something that I, when reading scripture, that I feel that was revealed to me, and this is just an understanding of something. It's not new, right? Make that very clear. I'm not saying I received any new revelation, is that one of the things that Jesus is a master of is managing expectations. Like, I never read a Bible study talking about that, and I was like, I feel like maybe I'll write that someday. Who knows? But he's managing expectations consistently in Scripture, right? And you're like, where's Michael going with this? I just got one simple verse for you to help us understand this. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, which I hope is all of you, and I pray is all of you, will be persecuted. Christ never offered you a bait and switch. He never said, hey man, become a follower of me, follow my ways, and it's smooth sailing from this point forward. Christ consistently managed the expectations of his followers and tells them two things consistently. Number one, you can have eternal salvation if you're resting with me. Amen, right? Amen to that. Number two, persecution is going to happen. Also, insert trials into that persecution. Hardships are going to come to you if you become a follower of Christ. So no one throughout history can ever be like, this ain't what I was promised, right? I mean, one of my pet peeves is when I watch a movie and there's got somebody in it from the military, and I know everyone's like, well, don't pick on the military, but in the movies they're like, I didn't sign on for this. This is exactly what you signed on for, to go to war and to fight on behalf of your country, right? You have that trope in every movie, and I'm like, but we as Christians, you cannot do that. Because you know exactly what you signed on for when you became a follower of Christ. You signed on for trials, right? Now, one of the things that is very useful as we move on to our second point here is that, and this is my testimony for a large part of my life, is I just thought that it was just randomness, like the world was just random. And we could use science and we could use experiments to describe why these things happen to you. But guess what? That doesn't work. It doesn't work because there's just things we don't understand, right? But thankfully, we have Scripture that is inspired by God, right? That is poured out for us that tells us the purpose of our trials. Verse 7. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Right? And so the reason for our trials, the reason we have them, is to do what? To grow and strengthen our faith. And anytime I talk about this with someone, I always like to talk about, like it's like a muscle. Right? If you don't use a muscle, what happens?
You lose.
Thank you, Irvin. All right. I wasn't expecting an answer, but thank you, Irvin. Right? It atrophies. It's not, I get you, Brad. It's not as strong as it used to be. And you go to lift something, you're like, whew, that's heavier than it used to be. Like, that thing didn't get any heavier. Your muscle got weaker because you've been sitting around watching more TV than you have been doing stuff. Your faith is exactly the same way. If your faith is never tested, it will never grow, right? Now, do I wish this wasn't the case? I do. I wish that when we came to know the Lord, that we're like, easy street, Skittles and rainbows from this point forward. My faith is on a rocket trajectory to do nothing but get stronger. But the reality is, that's not you. That's not me. You know why? Because the first point we made, because you're a sinful being. And it won't work that way. So you have to work it out. You have to experience trials. It has to grow. And so as hard as it is at times for you to understand and accept this fact, the trials that you're experiencing are because God loves you. And that God wants you to grow in your strength and grow in your understanding. A very important secondary point, for your trials is it serves to remind you your need for God, right? Just be honest with yourselves. Irv, if you want to answer again, feel free, right? Be honest with yourselves. When have you drawn closest to God? Is it when you're on the mountaintop and things are going great? You're like, oh man, it's perfect. It's a wonderful day. Or is it when you're in a valley and you understand, I'm in need of somebody right here? Let's just be honest. The truth is when you're in the valley. Now, what do we want to do? What is our faith? As our faith grows and becomes stronger, as we exercise this muscle of faith, what happens with us is we grow and we get better at not only understanding our need for God in the valley, but also appreciating God when we're on the mountaintop. Right? That is going to happen for us as our faith grows. But the reality is, if we never have a trial, you will not do this. Now, some of you are thinking that right now. It's like, Michael don't know me. I can do this. I do know you. Because I know your sin nature. Because Scripture is very clear. You will not do this without trials. You will not grow and be as faithful as God desires you to be without trials. And I know, man, I wish it too. I wish it as much for you as I do for me, that at times I'd be like, man, I want this thing just work. My famous saying is like, who designed this? This is horrible design. Like, I know who designed the refrigerator. Like, I could do it better, right? I spent 2 hours one time trying to fix a refrigerator, and all I had to do was close the door, and something would simply clip on. But I had the door open trying to make it clip on, and I was so mad. I'm like, who designed this thing? I read the instruction book, no comments, and I realized, oh, shut the door, it clips right in. Right? And so in that situation, right, in these trials, I know that's not a huge trial, but in these situations, right, in our times of frustration, the reality is God is growing you. And why should that give you comfort this morning? Right? I don't know what trial you're experiencing. I know what trial I'm currently experiencing. It's the loss of my brother, Doug Ball. That's my current trial that I'm currently walking through right now. If you were here, you heard me. I couldn't read 12 sentences very well. Right? I've been able to read for a lot of years, and I didn't do a very good job reading yesterday. So I'm suffering through that trial right now. But the truth is this, in that trial, God is growing me. God is strengthening me. And the fact is this, I'm to be thankful for that. Am I sorrowful for the loss of my brother? Off the charts, man, off the charts. For my nieces and nephews who've lost their grandfather, off the charts. I'm sorrowful for them. But ultimately, I'm more thankful for how he's growing me in that faith. I'm more thankful for the legacy that Doug left behind of chasing after God, right? Of being a good imitator of Christ, right? We are to be thankful in these situations. I mean, there are so many stories that I could tell. The one I would say this, and I think Steve and I have discussed this about Doug, is that Doug just had a calming effect, man. It's something I hope I have someday. I don't think I have it right now. But we'd have a business meeting, and I would think that we're going to have to separate the two sides of the church. Like, we're about to go at it. I'm like, who's the biggest guy here? That's who I'm going to hit first. Hopefully he goes down. Like, I don't know who it's going to be. Doug would get up and say two sentences. I'd be like, yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, we'll just do that. And this just calm. Just calm would come over the church. It's an amazing thing, right? As was said a couple times, you know, Matthew and I, we were not blessed with the ability to sing, right? We just don't have it. Doug was very patient in the choir. He would show us things and he would teach us things. We would still get it wrong every time. We'd come in at the wrong point. We'd sing wrong. And we're like, it's just us. Very patient with us. Just the legacy left behind was amazing. Do we miss Doug? Absolutely. But even in the midst of that, we should be thankful because God is growing us. He's growing us in our faith, and to understand, as someone who ran the race and did it well, now is in eternity. And we too can be there as well if we follow after Christ. So, church, I know we're all hurting because of the loss of our brother, but I'm going to read something here for you. This is Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Possibly could have been our center point of the whole message today. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope for the glory of God. Not only that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Amen. This is the purpose of your trials. The reason that not only because of Scripture teaches you this, another reason that this should give you peace this morning is to know that there is a purpose for your trials. They're not just random. How many people in here have heard it said, man, good things? I don't understand why good things happen to bad people. This is why, secondary, there are no good people. That's a different message for a different day. But this helps you to understand why trials happen. You do not live in a random universe where just random things happen. There was a reason. This is your third dip in the pool, understanding suffering. God's providence did that to help us deal with this day. God teaches us this. So tomorrow, when you go out and experience a different trial or a different temptation, you understand why it's happening. And ultimately, what are you supposed to do? To be thankful for it. And that should give you peace, because God knows what he's doing. God has a plan for all of this. I want to give you one more, and we'll get to this later. So this is kind of foreshadowing. This is also in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. This is the Holy Spirit, once again, right, managing your expectations. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Don't be shocked. It's very clear. These are coming for you. How are you supposed to respond to them? Now, we could talk about this. You know, I don't know about you all. I don't have a lot of gold laying around my house, right? But we use the example, maybe you all do, all right? Okay, I know whose house I'm coming to, right? But, you know, Peter uses the example here, right? You have the element of gold, right? But it has impurities built into it. What do you do to get rid of those impurities? You have to stick that piece of gold in a furnace. And do we put the furnace on lukewarm so it just gets a little hot? No, man. You crank that furnace wide open where things are glowing. It's like, you could just see the heat coming off of them. And then the person working it then takes another piece of metal and they scrape the top off, as Scripture would say, removing the dross, removing the impurities. That's what Peter is using as example. That is what's happening in your life. So when that fires on you, be thankful for that, because it's removing the impurities. That's a workout. You're doing a workout that day. I tell people all the time, they say, Mike, are you in shape? I was like, well, I think round is a shape. So yeah, I'm in shape. But understand when he's talking about this, as he removes those impurities from you in life, be thankful for that. Because what's left when we do this with gold? Pure gold. What's left in mine and your life when God removes these impurities for you? A more faithful person, who then can go on and handle other trials in a more glorifying way. You know, when we hear this, church, it's really easy to say, man, I just don't want these. But the reality is you do. You do want these. You should desire these. Now, I also always have to put this in there, because this was a problem that Paul addressed quite often in his epistles, is that should you go out and be making hardships for yourself? No. That is not what Scripture teaches, because one of the original beliefs were like, well, the more sin I commit, the more glorified God is, because that's just more mercy he pours out on me. That makes sense to someone who's about 17 years old that wants to live a crazy life, right? I mean, a lot of you are like, that don't make any sense. Well, for the early church, that was a problem. They addressed that a lot. But what we're talking about is trials that happen because of a sinful world, right? Or trials that happen because of your sinful nature, of bad decisions you make, right? I don't know about you all, that happens to me sometimes, right? But what we're most thankful in this, right, what we should be most happy for is that not only does God prepare us and explain to us what trials and temptations are, not only does he give us a purpose for those temptations and trials, but the most important thing is he gives us a way to conquer those trials, right? I'm going to give you two reasons here, right? Number one, the way that you overcome these trials and temptations is by our love for Jesus Christ, right? And so that's something I want you to think about this morning, is this. Why do you love Jesus? My guess is for some of you all that have been blessed and have been in church for more than a week, right? It's a pretty easy concept, but been in church for more than a week. Why do you love Jesus? Because everybody tells me I'm supposed to love Jesus. I don't know. I just love Jesus because I love Jesus, right? No, there's a very clear reason why you love Jesus, and we sang about it this morning, right? You love Jesus because of what he did on your behalf, right? What did he do on your behalf? Again, we got to take a look in the mirror. What did we need? We needed a Savior. Why? Because you are corruptible. Because you have a sin nature that when given the choice between right and good, so many times, I said right and good, between right and wrong, so many times you choose wrong. Between right and good, you can't go wrong, right? So many times you choose wrong because of your sin nature. So what you needed, right? And so what was going to happen to you is you did not meet God's standard. And so what was going to happen to you is eternity. in hell. But on your behalf, what did Christ do? He went to the cross. I'm reading a book right now, and I feel like at times I should quit reading this book because it keeps making me paranoid that there's so many things that people don't understand. And I'm like, I feel like everyone understands this, but I was like, now I feel like I have to say this every time. So, and I'm very confident most of you get this, but just in case you don't, I want to make this very clear. What Christ went to the cross and accomplished, you never could. It's a very wrong understanding that think, well, if I would have been crucified, right, I could have taken my sins away. No, that is very wrong. And I guess that was a very popular view at some point in the church history. And it's just flat out heresy, right? You could never account for the amount of sin you have done in your life by anything, by righteous acts, by enough prayer, by enough sacrifices. Even if you were put on a cross one day, you would never atone for your sins. So let's make that super clear. Hopefully that's like VBS stuff for most of you, right? Well, it's very straightforward. What Christ did accomplish on that cross, and this should amaze you, is not only did he atone for your sins, one of my favorite words in Scripture, propitiation, right? I have to really think how to say it correctly every time I want to say it, right? What he did is he did that for you, but guess what? Everyone else. So why do you love Jesus? Because what he accomplished on the cross on your behalf. And what's even more amazing, you didn't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But God loves you so much, he sent a way for you to one day be seen as righteous, as we read here in Scripture, to one day be justified, right? As we understand what Jesus accomplished for him. I know I've said this so many times, you're like, here it comes. Yes, here it comes. Again, I just want to make sure we understand this and get this right. A lot of people like to use the analogy of, well, you know, when you stand in front of God one day and Jesus is going to stand up and say, not guilty, and you're going to head off into heaven, that's really close. But they miss a very important point when they use that analogy. You are guilty, man. Like, don't think when you stand in front of God because you're a follower of Christ that God's going to be like, not guilty. No, you are guilty, but the reality is you receive a pardon. Because Christ can then stand up and say, but I knew him, or I knew her. So understand that. Don't get that mixed up. You are guilty, but Christ accomplished that. So how do we conquer these trials and temptations? Because of our love for Jesus Christ, for we understanding for what Jesus had done for us. Simon left. I got a message from my wife to quit asking questions of Simon because I guess she doesn't have faith in him like I do. I don't know. I'm just joking. Not because she said I was picking on Simon. But there's a very clear way that our love for Jesus manifests in our life. Right? We obey him. Right? We keep his commandments. We turn away through temptations. And this one's really important to what we're talking about today. We walk through trials. Right. A lot of us have a tendency to take the easy path, right? We got two choices in life. I can take the easy path or I can take the tough path. Sometimes you got to walk that tough path. And one of the ways you show your love for Christ and the way you conquer these trials is you walk that tough path, but you do it to his glory, right? And you do it with a loving attitude. And I wish I could say that I've mastered this. I have not mastered this. I pray that I'm getting better at it, and I pray someday that I am really good at it. But that is a difficult thing to hear and to understand, but it's very true. If we love Jesus, it's going to involve turning away from our temptations, keeping his commandments, and walking through tough trials. That's just what it comes to. John 14, verse 15 through 16, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's really straightforward. I mean, we're not making anything complicated here. I can guarantee you your Sunday school class was way more complicated than that this morning. It's very straightforward. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's what Jesus, and really, he's not saying, oh, well, if you love me and maybe you do this. No, he says, if you're loving me, right, if you're regenerate, if you're living in right relationship with Christ, the reaction to that is very straightforward. Keep his commandments. And not from a legalistic point of view, but from what point of view? Because you want to, because you love him. That's how you conquer these trials. That's how you overcome them, by understanding that, right? The second thing I wanted to share with you this morning is that another way that you conquer trials and temptations in this fallen world, and we've kind of already talked about it, is it's because you have belief in Jesus Christ. It's one thing to understand what Christ did. I've shared this before with you all. When I was in college many, many, many moons ago, I took a New Testament class, and the teacher was not a Christian. Not at all. Like, just openly said that. The first 5 minutes of class, I don't believe any of this, but I treat this as like a history book. I'm like, well, this ought to be interesting, right? So we went through the class, and the reason I bring that up is that you can have a academic knowledge of who Christ is. You can be the best person here at looking at maps and knowing where Samaria is at, and there's Jerusalem, and this is where Judea is, and this is where Egypt was, and this was, you could even draw Paul's missionary journeys. I've got that map memorized, right? I know where those arrows, I know where they go, right? You can have that academic knowledge, but until you have that heart knowledge, it doesn't matter. Right? So this is the second point here, is that you have to have belief in Jesus Christ. You have to believe what he accomplished for you on the cross, and you have to put that into action every day. It's not something that you're just like, I can explain this to people. The question is, are you living it? Are you living as if you believe in Jesus Christ? One of the things I love to say when this discussion comes up is everyone's tough, right? Everyone's big and bad, men, women, whomever. Man, I die for Jesus. I die for my beliefs. Maybe someday you'll have to. I don't know. I don't know what that's going to look like. But the question I like to ask people, are you willing to live for him, though? Are you willing to go into your workplace, into a hostile environment, where because of where we live, no one's going to kill you for walking into your place of business and proclaiming Christ? No one's going to, you know, execute you for speaking truth of Scripture, right? But you're going to be ostracized. You're going to be treated differently, right? Are you willing to live for Christ? Odds are, and again, I'm not a prophet. I'm a lot of things, but I'm not a prophet. So I don't know what God has in store for you when it comes in terms of living in the faith, right? Maybe someday you will die for Christ. Maybe someday you will. If you do, you should be thankful for that. But the vast majority of us are going to get to live for Christ. We're going to get to share the gospel. We're going to get to evangelize people. We're going to get to, in a kind, loving way, share the gospel with people, right? So many of us are just sauntering through life, and you're not really living, and you're not really dead. You're just like apathetic to the situation. That is not the Christian of Scripture. The Christian of Scripture is going through these trials with good attitudes, but also sharing the gospel with people, right? I'm going to close with one last verse here. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 through 5. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And so when you read that, you got to make, something should be very clear to you. For everyone who has been born of God. Don't read that as it's for everyone, right? That's what the secular world is trying to impress and push upon you, is that everyone's going to heaven. That is heresy according to Scripture, for everyone who has been born of God. So you're sitting here this morning, whatever your trial or temptation is going through, I've shared mine, recent one, right? I'm sure there'll be another one tomorrow, right? How do we overcome those? It's because our love and our belief and our faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear God, I'm so thankful for today, Lord. I'm so thankful for your word. Lord, as difficult as it can be at times in my life, Lord, I need to be more thankful for my trials. I need to be more thankful for the strength, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that I have, that gives me the ability to turn away from temptations, to not let those temptations enter into sin. Lord, I'm so thankful for that. Lord, I'm thankful for the exercise that you give for my faith as it continues to grow stronger and stronger and stronger, not because of anything I've done, but because of what you've done by giving me the Holy Spirit to understand these things. Lord, so I'm so thankful. Lord, as we discussed briefly, and we've talked about it a lot in the last couple weeks, Lord, I'm so thankful for being born again. I'm so thankful for my regenerate heart that allows me to understand these things. Lord, but most importantly, as we've discussed today, I'm thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross to be the payment for my sins, but also everyone's sins, Lord, who enter into a right relationship with him. I'm so thankful for that, Lord. I'm thankful for the understanding that I have for the purpose of my trials and temptations and for those of the church. And Lord, but most importantly, I'm thankful for the solution of those trials, and that is Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Let us stand this morning and respond that we can face tomorrow because we follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
Amen, church. It was a wonderful day to be with you. I'm so thankful for you all. Before we leave, I've got one challenge for you and then a reminder. Not a reminder, but something new for you. And the challenge is this. And, you know, I shared with you some this morning about my trials and how I've been missing Doug, and I'm sure that's going to continue. But there's someone that it leaves even a larger void for us, and that's Rita. Right? And so as Monday rolls around, you'll get back to doing what you normally do, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? You have to move on. But keep Rita in your thoughts and prayers. I would encourage you to give her a call, to reach out to her, because she'll just start becoming to grips with the absence of her loved one. I know she told me when I visited her that it would have been 52 years in July. So I told her we're just going to go ahead and give her 52 years. We're just going to go say 52 years. That's a long time, man. That's a long time to be living with someone, and so that's going to hit her hard. As a church, I challenge you to come alongside of her, to be there for her, pray for her, reach out to her. Don't forget her. And then the thing I remind you of, there is going to be a brief, was it brief, is that fair to say, brief? A brief business meeting this morning in the fellowship hall. So if you're here and you're on the budget committee, you have a meeting in the fellowship hall, right? If you're not on that, talk to June. She can help you be on it, right? All right, let's see here. Tony, will you pray for us, please? Thank you.